Zanko from the Green and Red podcast. I'm going solo today. Scott is on holiday. And today we're talking to probably our most frequent guest ever, Mike Elk, who is the senior editor and founder of Payday Report, which does some really great work on labor reporting. But Mike also spends a lot of time covering events from Brazil. Mike attended school there, and in the past few years, you've spent a significant amount of time there. You were there for the election of 2022 and so forth. And Brazil is back in the news again in the last few days because Donald Trump has issued 50% tariffs, ostensibly as a way to get back at Lula for the state indicting Bolsonaro. And so, what's happened this week, and what's the latest on that?
Well, what happened this week is let's just give our readers a quick recap. Lula was elected president of Brazil. I mean, he was president from 2002 to 2010, and then he was elected in 2018. And actually, he was illegally, no, sorry. He was elected, and he was illegally jailed in 2018 to prevent him from running for president. The convictions were later overturned, seen to be, pretty dirty. And then in 2022, he was elected president of Brazil. It came out through various means that Bolsonaro had plotted with top generals to have Lula assassinated and to overturn the election results. Currently, Bolsonaro has been indicted. He's been charged. He's had hearings in front of the Supreme Court. His passport's been revoked. He can't travel anywhere. His son Eduardo, who was a senator, actually fled to the United States to before his passport could be revoked, and has been given safe haven by the Trump administration. Now, there's been some rather complex court proceedings. We're seeing reports out of Brazil today that Bolsonaro is to be arrested in the next week. This is obviously a huge development. Now, Bolsonaro is very close with Trump. Eduardo Bolsonaro, his son, studied with Trump. Steve Bannon was one of their advisors. They worked closely with a lot of the Trump team. Also, Bolsonaro did not recognize the election results in the United States. He was probably the only major world leader who did not. So there's a close ideological connection. They invite Bolsonaro up to CPAC. They have him up for various events. Well, he can't go anywhere now because now he's under house arrest. I'm not house arrest. He doesn't have a passport. So this week, the Biden administration, so this week, the Trump administration, sorry, I'm really tired. The Trump administration decided that they were going to place a 50% tariff on all goods coming from Brazil. Now, right now, there were some 10% tariffs placed on a number of countries. Brazil had a 10% tariff placed on it. And was not on the list of 21 countries who are going to see their tariffs raised. However, what wind up happening is that Trump came out with a statement saying that they were placing this tariff because they believe the trial against Bolsonaro was a witch hunt. Now, see, this has had a very interesting effect in Brazil. The result of it has been that Lula now is gaining a lot of popularity. Actually, the economic effect of this on Brazil probably won't be that significant. Brazil only exports 1.7% of all its products to the United States, mainly in oil, some iron ore, soy. So it's unclear how huge of an impact this will have if it's only 1.7% of the economy. The political impact has already been enormous. Lula is up for re-election next year. It's expected to potentially be a close race. It's unclear. But now Lula is seen as the defender of Brazil against the imperialist Americans. The one, and yesterday there was a huge protest in the Avenida Paulista, which is like the Times Square of São Paulo, which is the largest city in Latin America. And in the protest, people were holding signs saying, "Lula wants to tax the super rich." They're pushing a proposal right now to tax the super rich, whereas Bolsonaro wants to tax everything that we send out of Brazil. So this has come at a very, this is a political gift for Lula of the best degree, because the effect of having a tariff on 1.7% of your economy, it's not clear how deep of an effect that will have. The other thing that's very interesting is that for some time now, under Lula and others, they've been moving away towards a more non-aligned movement, you could call it, where they're not so tied into the United States. They have the BRICS trade group, which is South Africa, China, India, Russia, Brazil, and they're moving away from using the dollar and pegging their international trade. And actually, the biggest trade partner for Brazil right now is China. And China has been working very, very hard to cultivate links with Brazil, sending money, sending farm equipment to the landless workers movement. They had Lula in China about 2 years ago, and they played a anti-US imperialism anthem of the Brazilian left when Lula showed up. So if anything, what this will do is just move Brazil further away from the United States and worked even more to dampen their power and move Brazil much closer to China, because 1.7% isn't that steep of a hit.
Well, yeah, I looked this up before we came on. As you pointed out, it's 1.7%. But in overall exports, Brazil's exports, 27% of Brazilian exports go to China. Over 15% go to the European Union. And for the US, it's around 11%. So it's, China is 2.5 times greater, and Europe is about 40% higher as well. So Trump doesn't, I guess, have the leverage he thinks he has. And you can talk about this too. The statement Trump made didn't even make really any attempt to put this in economic terms. It was all this kind of personal anger, which isn't really grounds to establish tariffs, according to US law.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And it's the first time that the Trump administration has placed a tariff on another country for strictly political reasons. And so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of effect this has internationally, in terms of even deepening even more this sort of more multipolar global system. And it's important to also point out that, Lula, Brazil is the sixth largest country in the world. It's one of the largest democracies in the world. I don't know if you consider India, China, and the United States democracies, really. And prior to this, Lula was one of the first world leaders to call what was happening in Palestine genocide. He tried to mediate the dispute between Ukraine and Russia. So it really just deepens more Lula's clout on the international stage as he attempts to, organize. Right after the election, one of my friends who was from Brazil told me, "Well, the silver lining for us is this moves us further away from the United States." During the Biden administration, there were differences, there were big differences, but at the same time, the Biden administration really helped Lula by shooting down any talk of a coup, publicly shooting it down. Publicly saying, the CIA, unusual move, the CIA put out a press release saying they would not be involved in a coup in Brazil. Probably a first time that the CIA has ever had to put out a press release saying, "Hey, we're not doing that,"
Well, in terms of the election too, I mean, Trump kind of intervened in Australia and Canada and really destroyed the right-wing candidates in both those places. So, just in terms of kind of Latin America has some economic issues, like Argentina right now has horrible inflation. What's the economy been like in Brazil the past couple of years?
The economy has been growing. Poverty has been going down. Wages have been going up. And part of this is that, there is somewhat of a protectionist economy in Brazil. You do have a big internal manufacturing base. It's insanely expensive to buy electronics in Brazil that are imported, almost twice the cost. So it's a huge, huge deal.
When is the election scheduled in 26?
But yeah, it's next year,
And
October.
Lula can be a candidate again.
Yes, he's made all indications that he's going to run again. I mean, he's 78, but they release all these videos of him out jogging, and really, you brought up Canada, right? Prior to Trump really going to war with Canada, the liberals were down by almost 20 points in Canada. They were going to get crushed. Lula has been leading in pools by some points. And Bolsonaro can't run. He's was ruled ineligible by the Supreme Court due to his role in this assassination and other things. So really, but the issue that we've seen right now is that the Brazilian Congress is controlled by the right wing that is aligned with Bolsonaro. And recently there was the mayoral election of São Paulo, where the right wing crushed the left, and this is the largest mayoral election. So, it's easy to imagine that things wouldn't go so well. But, what we saw yesterday in Paulista, as well as in other places in Brazil, is people out protesting the United States, protesting the involvement of the United States. Brazil has put out on the Brazilian government's official Instagram page, memes about how this is Brazil spelled with an S, not Brazil spelled with a Z. And Brazil is written with the red, white, and blue. We're also seeing for the first time, the Brazilian flag under Bolsonaro became a symbol of fascism. Bolsonaro told all his supporters to wear the Brazilian flag to single their support for his regime. Now you're seeing Lula and the left reclaim the Brazilian flag, reclaim Brazilian national identity, reclaim what it means. And no one in Brazil likes these tariffs. They're not popular with anyone. So now Lula is seen as a defender of Brazil. So this is an enormous gift to Lula. And so it's another poorly thought out scheme by the Trump administration.
Does Brazil import much from the US? Is it
No,
really?
actually, right now, Brazil has a trade surplus with the United States. They export far more to the United States than they import. So it won't have much of an effect at all on the economy. But the political effect of it, I think, could be huge. I mean, obviously, it's been 2 days, right? So who knows what can happen, right? They could find Lula in bed with a dead horse. I don't know. Weird things happen in politics. But this is a very good sign, a very gift to Lula, really.
Lula's support kind of comes from traditional left constituencies, right? Like labor and community groups, civil society. Who's behind Bolsonaro? Who's subsidizing the right-wing parties there?
Well, the people subsidizing it are big agribusiness, particularly because there's land reform attempts in Brazil. The evangelical church, which is heavily backed by the United States. These big interests in Brazil are backing them. The big media conglomerates, which are much bigger than the United States. So these are the groups that are really behind Bolsonaro, and the militia movement, which is a paramilitary movement. Paramilitary gangs run areas of Rio de Janeiro where something like 1.5 million people live. So the people behind it are really kind of nasty folks, and they've been getting a lot of support from American fascists too, in terms of social media support, in terms of aid, and this is gonna really hurt Bolsonaro.
Haven't like Steve Bannon and others been working with haven't they in the past worked with Bolsonaro and in the Brazilian?
Yeah, they've worked with Bolsonaro in the past, in terms of. If you look at the 2018 election in Brazil, and you look at how they were able to deploy stuff on social media and Facebook, they really were taught a lot of that by American political operatives that had worked for Trump. How to run. I mean, Bolsonaro has even described himself as Trump of the tropics. So, if he's in jail, if he gets convicted, I mean, I don't know if he'd be convicted in a year and a half, but a lot of information will come out as part of the trial. And if Lula now is seen as the defender of Brazilian sovereignty, and they can reclaim the flag, you could potentially see Lula not just win re-election, but maybe the left can regain control of Congress in Brazil.
Well, it's also pretty interesting, and the American left could take notice of the way Brazil dealt with Bolsonaro. I mean, they acted quickly and decisively, whereas here, no one did anything about Trump. The attorney general sat on his hands, and here we are. Bolsonaro himself is not popular, right? Inside Brazil, he's kind of been discredited, or.
Yeah, well, part of this is that, in Brazil, the judicial system, including the prosecutors, are independent somewhat. The investigation was started by the Brazilian Supreme Court with the help of the Brazilian FBI, and the Brazilian Supreme Court brought the indictments against them. So that's part of the reason, is that it's insulated from political pressure somewhat.
Shifting a little bit, you mentioned a bit ago that about Lula's support of Palestine. And you want to kind of talk a little bit more about that, what Brazil has done and Brazil's position on this genocide.
Well, the position of Lula in Brazil is that what's happening in Palestine is genocide. Those are the explicit words they use. And when he first used them, they were quite controversial about a year ago. And then he compared that what they were doing in Palestine was similar to what the Nazis did in Europe, and he got in a lot of trouble for it. So this is the position they've taken for some time now, some considerable time now. And Lula has worked to build support at the UN and in other forums to denounce this. And not only that, but they've come to Brazil and other places looking for ammunition to send to the Ukraine, to send to various places, and they've said no. There really is a block against it. He really is a thorn in the side of a lot of U.S. imperialist ambitions overseas.
And what does Lula also have a relationship, or is Brazil a trading partner, at least with Russia as well as China?
Yeah, a ma a major trading partner with Russia, major trading partner.
You said there's plans now to arrest Bolsonaro this week. What would that involve? Take them.
It's being reported by several of the Brazilian media. It's not clear yet if he will be arrested, but this is something that is being reported.
And that just would kind of expedite the process of bringing him to trial, or anything else on Brazil?
No, I can't
No.
wait to be back next year.
We haven't talked for a while, so I just want to kind of quickly, because you do a lot of work on labor too. And one thing we're seeing right now, in addition to these horrific raids and ICE, that Trump is really going after a lot of unionized, especially the unionized workforce, especially the federal workforce. And I haven't followed it that closely, so I may be off, but it seems to me I haven't heard a lot out of people like Liz Schuler or Sean Fain or even Sarah Nelson. Is there kind of a labor resistance being organized against all this stuff that Trump is doing, these raids and these firings and everything else? Or it doesn't seem
There
like
has
labor's had a huge role in
been
this yet.
there has been a bunch of resistance against it. Particularly some of the unions, like SEIU, a couple of their members have been there have been caravans organized to go to the ICE detention center in Louisiana. SEIU California union president was arrested, and there were nationwide protests about this. There was a Tufts graduate student who was a member of SEIU who was arrested. Smart, which used to be the sheet metal workers, Abrego Garcia is a member of their union. They've done several major protests nationwide around this. So I do think the labor movement has been really engaged on immigration in a way that they weren't in the first term. I think there's more training programs. I mean, speaking of Brazil, I talked to a lot of my Brazilian friends about this. They always see these clips of like people stopping the ICE trucks. So people are paying attention. I mean, it's funny the other day, 2 weeks ago, I was invited to a big immigrants' rights, block party with some DJs, and a friend was going to invite some women who were, Latinas, and they were nervous about ICE showing up, and I said, are they going to show up to a block party with 100, 200 people and get their asses kicked potentially? Because no, I mean, that's what they would have to worry about, right? Like if they tried to show up to a big party full of activists, there could be a riot. So I think we're seeing a whole new means of militancy, and we need to. I mean, this is like, imagine if the unions had gotten involved in trying to stop, the trains from going to Auschwitz. That's a whole nother story.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. If these unions are organizing kind of more street action or direct actions or anything like that. Last thing, because we always have to talk about it when I talk to you, is you're I guess senior senator now, or wait, I guess they're both new, or how's that
No,
go? I
he's
guess
the
he is the
senior
senior
senator.
senator now, yeah, who's seems to get kind of nuttier by the day. There was a big expose in the New Yorker, which talked about a lot of things that you had mentioned way before that. What's the sense in the state? I mean, is he kind of losing credibility, or?
Yeah, I don't think he could win re-election again. He's definitely going to have a primary challenge. I already know former Congressman Conor Lamb is planning to
Lamb
run again.
ran, he ran against him, didn't he, in the last primary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there'll likely be other people that will emerge to run.
Yeah.
Lamb was centrist, a little bit to the right in some
Yeah.
ways. So there will likely be other people that run in that race.
Yeah.
He's lost almost all credibility. I mean, yesterday I was seeing this list that Fetterman is like one of four offices where if you call as a constituent, they won't let you leave a voicemail.
Oh, really? Jeez. Yeah. I
Yeah.
yeah, yesterday he said that
Not even pretending to listen, you know.
he said Mamdani is not a real Democrat because I guess he is, you know, and yeah, he seems more a lot more concerned about Netanyahu than the people of Pennsylvania. So, but
Yeah.
yeah, again, and you've talked about him that way for a long time, and you were ahead of the loop on that. So, we gotta start chatting again on a more regular basis about what's going on. But
Good.
it's good to talk to you again, and you know, I'll have you know, we'll have more to talk about, and we'll keep up to date on this Brazilian situation too. But as you pointed out, I mean, Trump's threat is all personal. It's not based on any kind of law. Laws, tariff laws are based on things like national security or import dumping, you know, currency fluctuations, things like that. Not, you know, I don't like what you did in the last election kind of stuff. So really appreciate it as always chatting with you, and we'll talk again soon. This is Bob Azenga from Green and Red Podcast, going solo today with Mike Elk from Payday Report, and our intrepid Brazilian reporter as well. So thanks.